Congratulations!
You're listening to Congratulations Pine Tree, the Bay's number one arts and culture podcast with me, Kate Rhodes.
And me, Maysoon Wasbaz.
This week we went and looked at Agnes Martin. We went to the little room which they call the chapel at SF MoMA. And
do they call it the chapel? What's up with it?
Well, I don't know if they formally call it that, but I know when I worked there, that's what everyone called it. They reorganized it so that you just walk directly into it. And I liked when the only entrance, I feel like the only entrance was off the main hallway.
Okay,
it was
now,
like a more, it was more isolated of a space, which I maybe wasn't good for the artwork. I don't know. I wonder why they did that.
So it used to be you had to kind of go around a corner to get into it, and now you can see directly into it from far away.
Right.
And it is less hidden.
Yeah. There were six pieces in that space. And
is that right?
I believe so. One, two, maybe I think six or seven.
I got to tell you, in the last episode, I had to cut like 5.5 hours of us trying to figure out what turquoise is.
Did we ever decide?
Do you remember that?
I was pretty, I don't know if you needed to cut that. Let other people figure out what turquoise is. Why did you cut it? Just because you didn't like the way it sounded?
Yeah, I don't think it was
quality reporting.
No.
But I feel like it is very in line with how we usually have conversations anyhow.
Yes,
so to me, that seems quality.
I'm just thinking of the future me having to comb through me talking about what is or isn't a chapel, because I was ready to really dig in on it.
I don't see why we should change it after 12 years, Kate. This is what we've been doing.
This
if
is
people
the
don't
wild
want to hear
thing.
It, they don't have to hear it. Fast
okay.
forward.
We're going to get to Agnes Martin in just a sec. But I don't know if
happening?
It's the abstraction thing. I don't know. I'm wondering if this is actually really like
is
having
this bad for your brain.
Deleterious.
Deleterious.
Uh-oh. I'm wondering if this is having negative consequences for my mental state and well-being.
We can take a break.
No, we have to power through.
No, I'm not interested in impacting your mental state and well-being.
Well, Maysoon, here's the truth. We've been doing the podcast for 12 years, and just now I've started to be annoyed with my own voice and my own thoughts.
Really?
Maysoon almost did
I almost
a spit,
spit
take.
My coffee out by mistake.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Just now you decided you... This is why I don't fucking listen to our edited episodes.
Uh-huh.
Which I shouldn't admit out loud. I'm sorry, listeners.
But you do listen to the unedited episodes?
I listen to us talking
right
now.
When we first do it. Yeah.
I listen to us talking right now, and that's enough for me to want to gag and run away.
Can't stand the sound of my voice. Can't stand the content of what I'm saying.
I take offense to that.
Oh, speak on it.
I think if you can't stand what you're saying, then you certainly can't stand what I'm saying, which then feels like, what are we doing?
What gives you that idea?
Because we're riffing off of each other most of the time. It's not like you're just sitting there isolated on an island talking to no one. We're talking back and forth to each other.
I don't mind what you say.
Well, oh I like discussing turquoise. I like discussing what colors
are. I had to cut out 5 hours
of
us.
I feel like that's a violent act against me. I think we need to go to couples therapy on this point alone.
Couples therapy just because of the turquoise?
Relationship therapy.
Just for the turquoise cut?
Yeah.
Damn. That's what finally put you over the edge.
Throwing me over the edge. Way over the edge.
Hanging
on the edge. Hanging on the boat.
Yeah.
There's
a shark
below.
Is it just you hanging?
It's just me hanging on
the
boat.
Then I'll grab and help you.
No, you're the shark below.
I'm the shark? What the fuck?
I'm kidding. I don't know what I'm talking about anymore.
Holy shit.
All right. We're doing the thing that you don't want to do. We're going back and forth about nothing.
No, that was good.
Oh.
That was good.
Oh, that
content.
Was good.
Sharks. People love sharks. Shark week, you know?
Classic. What's the word? Not enemy, but what's the word in like the bad character? There's a word for
an antagonist?
Thank you. The classic antagonist.
The shark?
Yeah.
Oh.
Right? In movies?
Yeah, I mean, probably.
In movies. Maybe not in nature documentaries.
Well, no, I mean, like, Do you think people have been against sharks longer than they've been against Satan?
Well, let's see. Sharks and Satan have probably existed as long as each other. But not everyone always thought about it.
Oh, sharks are older than Satan.
Sharks are older than Satan.
I'm talking like
I feel like there was a time when Satan wasn't like part of the conversation.
For sure.
So probably longer.
Depending on what you consider to be Satan, like...
I think in like a classic Christian sense.
Oh, then sharks are way older.
Way older,
than Satan,
right? Yeah.
For sure. Do you think
Were the paganists talking about Satan?
The paganists. The pagans?
The paganists. Yes.
This is why the show is unlistenable. We're okay.
I work with someone who I think sometimes makes up words to elongate them. And I'm like, I always want to correct them, but I won't because I'm just like, who cares? I know what you're saying.
Is this an art world person?
Yes.
It's the art world. It's not their fault.
It's not their fault. They have been trained to try to put as many syllables in a word as possible, even though there might be a simpler way to say it with the same actual structure of the word.
Yeah.
Same word
their
base.
Unreconstructedness.
Exactly.
Yeah.
It's very interesting to me. The pagans didn't believe in deities?
No, they did.
They did. Do they believe in Satan? Or like a...
Well, that's the thing. Are we going to expand our definition of Satan to be just encompassing any like trickster
god? Evil force.
Or, okay.
Bad force.
All right.
Negative energy. Well, then, negative energy? No, we can't be calling that Satan.
Sorry, pal. Any kind of Satan that we're talking about is not older than sharks. That's just a fact. Challenge me, listener. Give us a call. 419.
Did sharks exist before human?
3-5-419.
Do you know what I mean?
3.
Did they?
I'm going to shuff so hard right now.
What is shuff?
Shuffle off this mortal coil.
Can you put that in 3 or 5 syllables, please? Shuffleosity. Shuffle-anime. Shuffle-anonymity. What? Shuffle-aminous. Okay, go ahead. 419-351-6606.
Mason, do you know the number yet?
I just got those 3-6.
You did good. Those are pretty good. And you can email us, congratulationspinetree@proton.me. Okay, Mason.
What were we talking about before that? Oh.
Agnes.
No, but we took a detour, obviously.
Why are sharks older than Satan?
How do we get to sharks? Lord. Oh, because of turquoise. Because you refused.
I was the shark.
You were the shark ruining my world of turquoise conversation.
Yeah.
Violent acts.
I think if you heard the turquoise conversation, you would.
I would not listen because I would be humiliated. I would be mortified and devastated.
Imagine how I feel.
You have a higher tolerance too than I think I do.
Almost 400 episodes deep and I just now got annoyed with myself.
Shit.
I know.
Just over turquoise?
No, I don't know what it is about. I think part of this whole abstraction series is that our conversations are abstract.
Oh.
There's not a lot of like, you know, solid things to really hang your hat on.
Oh.
It's just us being like, the blue made me feel weird.
We introduce some like real hard facts about the artists.
We sure do.
I remember.
Do we have any this episode?
I have some.
You do?
Of course. Every time I did a tiny bit of reading, just
good
one
job.
Little page.
Well, that's still better than I did because I wasn't looking into Agnes Martin at all. I was like, well, we're going and seeing her in person, so
we saw her in person.
The research.
Do you think paintings are reflective of the person?
Of the artist.
The artist who makes them. Duh.
I can't imagine something more reflective of who someone is than the art they make.
Yeah. Do you think anyone tries to make art that's actually not reflective of them? I mean, that would be still reflective of them, obviously.
They try to make work that's different than
what they're actually feeling.
What they're like.
Not possible. Because I feel like even that would be a reflection of them in some way, right?
It's hard for me to... I guess someone's actions are more of a reflection of who they are than their artwork, but still. Because you couldn't tell from...
Don't you think people
are
conflicted, though, in like outside of the art, outside of art making? Like, I feel like we live in a world where people say things, but then their actions are different.
Yes.
And I think... I guess it's reflective of who they are still.
Always the case. But I don't think you...
But what about people who feel like they will be, like, severely punished by acting?
Like gay people?
Anyone who feel like says that they would do something in response to some terrible situation, but then don't because they feel like they're going to get fired or whatever, you know?
Oh, like genocide deniers?
Mm-hmm. Or maybe not deniers, but genocide hiders.
People that publicly are genocide deniers, but then aren't in their real spirit.
Well, I mean, that could be an example, I guess. That I just...
I'm sorry. I lost the thread on what...
I know. Forget it. I think we should just leave it.
Okay. Are you sure?
I was just taking it away from painting, and I think we should probably stay with painting for now. Just for
Oh, but I really want to know what you were talking about.
I was just saying, like, we were talking about, like, a painting is 100% is reflective of the person who made it, right? In some way, shape, or form.
Yes, right? I believe that.
And then I was thinking, like, but what about people who have a belief system but feel like they can't act on it because of the repercussions or what their fear might be, repercussions against them.
You think it would, are you saying like, oh, it would come out in their work? Something.
Well, I'm removing it from painting.
Oh, okay. Well, let me wrap my head around this for a sec. People that want to do something or have a certain belief, but they feel like they can't let it out in public. So right. I'm thinking of like gay people back
sure.
in the day.
Sure, okay, fine. That works too.
Or like, yeah, just anybody that's going against the
mainstream, the grain.
Yes. Yeah, what about them?
I guess it is still reflective of them because they're scared. It's showing their fear. But I think that's still reflective of their... Person,
I think you have something specific in mind. Do you?
I don't really.
Specificity is the soul of narrative.
You're so right. Just how confusing it got just now is ridiculous. I even lost the thread, honestly.
More fodder for the cutting room floor.
Shit.
We need a producer. Folks, give us a call. We need someone. We need a third person in the room. It's time. We need to upgrade. We need more money. Go to congratulationspinetree.com.
I can't believe this.
And hit that donate button. We need a producer. We need someone to edit the show. We need to just kick back and relax and have some 24-year-old take the reins.
Oh, I bet you there's someone out there who would do it.
We need an intern.
What will we do for them?
Nothing.
We don't have any
Less
money.
Than nothing.
No.
Not only are we not going to give them anything, we're going to demand that they do stuff for us.
I can bring them a cup of coffee.
I think we could find a way to give them college credit.
Oh.
Don't they just make you fill out a form? Is there really any kind of checks and balances?
Should we reach out to them? What was I supposed to be looking into last week? I forgot and I didn't do it.
It was something...
I really did want to look into it. I was convinced I would do it. Maybe I should start writing notes down.
Oh, you were going to see... I think one thing you were going to do was see if SF MoMA would let us look at a Howard Dina Pindell painting
person. Good memory, Jesus Christ. Let me write that down.
Well, I only listened to us talk about it 50,000 times.
I should have asked our host at Craig's event. This is just like us being the most self-centered assholes ever.
Well, I have the card of someone who is in the conservation department. Actively ignoring me. Okay? Michelle Clowen.
Pindell.
Take a picture of this and get a hold of this person.
Why do you have this person?
Because we went, when I was doing Saul LeWitt, we went and saw some conservation stuff. It was really cool. I almost
cried.
They
have their pronouns on their business cards.
Good
I appreciate
for them.
That. I think that's
her?
Really good. She, her, yes.
A lot of good it did me.
You said her.
Well, yeah, but I said them first.
Oh, well, who cares? Everyone can say.
It could have been a funny moment if you were just like, ha ha.
If I were just paying attention.
This is the worst episode we're going to do.
Is it the
and
worst?
That's saying a lot. I don't know. We're just all discombobulated.
Okay. Great. So I'll do that this week. I'm going to reach out to Michelle.
And see, we should probably check the collections to see if they have one.
Okay, I'll do that too. Ooh, I'm excited.
Yay.
I wonder if there's like a Frankenthaler. Maybe we should request any one of the people that we've already seen talked about so far.
Sure.
Just to be like, and we're doing this.
They
very...
for sure have a Frankenthaler.
Oh, yeah. I know. There's probably one actually out on the floor.
Yeah. So we went to SF MoMA, and sure enough, we spent a good chunk of time with Agnes Martin.
Kate was in the room before I was. She disappeared off into the ether, and then I had to be like, where are you?
Well,
let's go. Should we?
We should say.
Either we should say, talk about that now or after.
Talk about what?
Craig.
Yeah, let's just say that we were there for the unveiling of Craig Calderwood's mural, which is on the fifth floor on the way to the cafe. You should really...
Oh my God, I'm recording this. Stop recording. The fuck?
You know, we are recording it on here too.
Do you need a transcript? I'm clearly going on and getting a transcript here. My God. We are being done. What's happening today?
I'm bleeping.
Craig Calderwood's new mural on the fifth floor in that space between where the white cube windows were. You know, what do you call that area?
The way to the cafe.
The way to the cafe. The piece is called, the mural's called The Way to the Cafe. Why can't I repeat what you said? Is that so bad?
You can. Please, by all means, we can make a Teletubbies podcast.
I do not know. I don't know what's going on. I feel like we should stop and restart again.
Tinky Winky, Dipsy.
I didn't grow up with Teletubbies.
Neither did I, but when I was stoned in college, I would watch it all the time with my friend Shanna.
Wow. Craig's mural is called Omen Studies.
Teletubbies! Say hello.
Hello.
Really good. I'm crying.
We're fucked up.
Okay. I'm completely serious now. Ready.
I don't know where we are now.
Craig, congratulations. We absolutely loved the mural. It was quite an undertaking.
Thank you for bringing us all up to the rooftop, too. That was kind of nice.
Up to the 10th floor.
This is a sort of private viewing of the mural, but everyone is invited up to the 10th floor where there's this outside space, and there were coloring books of Craig's drawings and some snacks and drinks and cookies that were very good.
The cookies were except.
And it was just a beautiful day. Oh, no. Don't get what's going on. What's going on over there? Kate is really losing it.
The cookies were God damn it, Maysoon. The cookies were exceptional.
They were really good. There were all sorts of, like, it was a star-studded event.
It was?
Yeah.
What stars did I miss?
Craig was there. Rollo was there.
Rollo.
Francisco was there.
San Francisco.
Yeah,
I was like,
oh my God. I had like a moment of like, oh, it's San Francisco. Should I go say hi? But I was like, no, don't be a groupie. Don't be
Toshio?
Like a weirdo.
Mm-hmm. How did I miss him?
I don't know. You got to open your eyes wide and bright.
Was it when we were out looking at the mural that you saw him?
No, I saw him the very moment.
On the rooftop?
The very moment I got there. Because I like to scan the audience
a
little bit.
You got to point out celebrities to me.
We should probably try to bring them on the podcast.
Absolutely, I'd love
to. We're supposed to bring Rollo on the podcast too. Why are we doing this?
Does Rollo want to come on the show?
I don't know.
This is beneath Rollo.
Okay, fine.
Not beneath Toshio. He has a podcast, so he knows how stupid they are.
Okay, now I'm feeling
just
bad.
Kidding. I'm sorry.
Again, violence against me.
This is our important life's work, and it's very serious.
But we do spend almost every week dealing with it.
I mean, believe me.
And Kate, way more. Okay, anyhow, let's go back to Craig, because that's what we were actually talking about. It was a beautiful event. The mural's amazing. I feel like I haven't seen Craig do a lot of black and white. I'm sure that she has, but I was sort of like, oh my gosh, it's all black and white, which she told me when I ran to her on the sidewalk in the Mission. But that was interesting.
Yes.
I'm just used to like the big bright colors. It was nice actually to see the black and white.
Yes.
There's like three main panels, right? I was reading about it. The first panel was of an oleander tree, which I guess used to kind of like cover the Mission.
Uh-huh.
And then it's sort of, the work seems to be talking about gentrification, right? Or just how this neighborhood has changed quite a bit from like these weirdo, big, messy trees, like much more queer community, you know, in the neighborhood, to like this sort of like the third panel is like this very kind of stark scene of just like a sapling with some drones flying overhead.
Yes.
It's sort of like our current state.
Yes.
Which was interesting. I was glad to read that because, like, oh yeah, that does feel accurate as far as like how much this neighborhood has changed.
Yep. And it's going to be up for like 2 years
forever.
Or something.
It'll be up forever. So get over there. There's so much to look at in Craig's work. It's really so much fun.
Yes. Craig, absolute 11 out of 10, as always.
Yeah. Ooh, should I give it one of my ratings?
Yes.
Was it the Teletubbies? Did they run in like a field of flowers?
They had a grassy hill that
okay.
they
ran. I'm going to put this. This is my rating. The Teletubbies running through a field of flowers on a grassy hilltop.
Okay. Interesting.
Wait, really?
Well, you're not very familiar with the Teletubbies, huh?
It just sounds cute and fun. Not cute. It sounds like very like, okay, no, maybe not.
It's just
toothless.
It's toothless.
Okay, let's redo it. You got to cut it now.
Oh, really?
Well, now I feel bad. I feel like I gave it a rating that I didn't understand.
Well, Tinky Winky was the source of quite a bit of controversy back in the day because he had a handbag, like a purse.
Oh, no, not a handbag.
Yeah, I know. I guess I don't know what any of the Teletubbies' genders are.
Did they? They seem genderless.
Yeah.
Like
they had TVs in their bellies.
Well, not like the TV in the belly makes me think about like maybe it's like a hillside that's transparent that you can see through, and there's like amazing like inner workings of underground. I don't know. Not in a scary way, in like a mind-bending, interesting, very engaged way. Maybe that's my rating for Craig's mural. Sorry, Craig.
So congratulations to Craig. Maysoon is working on her knowledge of Teletubbies.
No, I'm really not.
No. Okay.
I'm definitely not.
You're okay. Turning your back on Teletubbies. Triple T.
Did Teletubbies come out the same time as Barney?
No, they were after Barney.
After Barney. Yeah, because Barney wasn't even...
Barney was coming up like right as I was getting too old for that kind of thing. And then we were singing the like Kill Barney songs, you know,
mm-hmm.
And then Teletubbies were way after.
Okay. But they were so weird that people childhood. Were kind of intrigued by them.
They're very weird. Yes.
Maybe I should watch a few episodes.
Well,
how long are they? 10 minutes? They're for kids, right?
I think it's a normal
30 minutes
hour show. Yeah.
Oof, God, too long for that.
Well, a lot of the things repeat. Is the thing. they'll watch something. The Teletubbies, because they have TVs in their bodies, so right. they are watching a lot of clips and stuff, and then they'll just watch it again, and you'll see the exact same thing twice in a row.
Wow.
Yeah.
Was that on PBS?
I think so.
It just seems like such a bad premise for children.
That you well
like
it was
come watch TV watch TV watch
it was
TV.
Predicting the iPad generation of now children just
very
have
fortunate
TVs
to have
in
grown
their
up
bodies
without phones.
Me too. Are you kidding?
I mean I'm happy to have one now, but I feel really fortunate to have experienced the world without iPhone, without cell phones.
I'm just glad that they didn't have that there wasn't a lot of video
controllers.
Content when I was drinking.
Video content.
Like video of, like, I'm glad people weren't
oh, you
just
weren't
shooting
recorded.
Video of me.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
You know, and putting it on TikTok or whatever. Because I would have made some very viral clips back in the day.
What were you doing, man?
I was fucking giving people lap dances. I was fucking, you know, I actually was on TV.
You were what?
We don't need to get into it.
You were on
it.
What? TV?
We don't need to talk about
You were on,
about.
Like, the nightly news background, like, mooning the
I was
reporter.
On a show. I was on a show called Speeders.
Like
we don't
speeders
need to get
or
we
speeders.
Don't need to get into any further. We don't need to get
Can
any
we get
further
into it later
into
though
it.
After the show?
I hope I haven't unleashed like throngs of listeners now jumping on the internet to find a clip of that. People, it's not happy.
You can bleep it.
Bleeping it.
You can bleep it if you need.
Nah, I don't
know. Wow, we are so off base, man. I don't even know where we how we ended up here.
Teletubbies.
Teletubbies, right. Is it illegal to shoot down drones?
Yes.
It is?
I mean, police drones, yeah.
Okay, but what about things you don't
just
think?
Regular drones?
Like with a BB gun with like a less lethal situation.
I don't know. Do you?
Or a whatchamacallit? What are those things?
A slingshot.
That's not like a, you can't register a slingshot, can you? So then it's fine.
Is it fine to shoot a drone out of the air with a slingshot? Is
correct.
The question
that is
at
the
hand.
Clear question. Mm-hmm. I mean, obviously it's damaging someone's property.
Well, what I don't know.
But their property is actively invading all of our privacy.
Well, here's the question. If you're renting, do you own the airspace? Above your, like,
no one owns the airspace
above your property. Well, if no one owns the airspace, then I don't think you can shoot a drone down with a slingshot.
I think you can. I think it just is void because no one owns the airspace.
Well, but they own their property. They own their drone.
But their drone is in an unsanctioned, unowned airspace. So I need to get another drone to fucking take down the other drone. Is that what you're saying?
I'm definitely
this
not.
This is the only way to do this is like get a fucking transformer drone that just goes up to other drones and like grabs it and then brings it down to the ground with itself.
I mean,
can someone work on that for me, please?
I love what I'm hearing.
Okay. So we just have a regular drone. When it approaches another drone, it like arms come out, like think of a crab or something. I don't care what it is.
I love thinking of crab.
And then it just goes, whoop. It just
kind of
pinch
absorbs the other drone.
It just literally grabs the drone.
Okay.
And then
without harming it.
It just grabs it.
Okay.
And then brings it back down to me. I guess we want to, there's got to be, well, drones have cameras, so I can approach the other drone and figure out if it's a police drone because they must be labeled or marked in some way because I don't want to be, like, shot by mistake when I bring the other drone back down to me.
I don't think they have drones with guns on them.
They don't?
I mean, I haven't
They
been.
Must. They absolutely 100% they must exist.
I think you'd be able to tell. It would look weird.
You know, I haven't spent a lot of time with drones, so I don't really know what they look like. I think Craig's drawing is probably the closest I've gotten to one.
You've been at protests where there were police drones around.
I've been at protests where people, like, I think sometimes the organizers use drones to, like, get an image of. I think I've seen more drone footage than I've seen drones, obviously. Anyhow, I'm going to get to work on that transformer drone. Here's the deal. We live in the Mission, and from our kitchen window, specifically, we have one square window that looks out towards Bernal Hill. There was a pattern where almost every night a drone would come by and it would linger. We left our kitchen light on, we were usually in there eating dinner. It would linger by the window. It wasn't close. It was further away, but it felt very ominous to me.
Well, yeah.
So then we would turn off all the lights so that it couldn't actually see in as well. Of course, I'm sure it can see through the dark.
It's got fucking thermo vision.
Probably, right? And so that pissed me off because I was like, it just felt like we were actively, this drone was just flying around the neighborhood, actively spying on or looking into people's private homes or private lives, which I just think is inappropriate and fucked up and made me mad. And so that's the kind of drone I would literally be like, cool, I'm going to get my drone and go get you now, like just bring you down. And I would probably destroy it in that case.
Well, they've been talking about using these green lasers to take out the flock cameras.
Oh,
and maybe you could just hit that motherfucker with a laser.
Yeah, okay, so where do I get a laser? Is that a weapon? Do I need to register that shit?
No.
I can just go buy one on Amazon.
Well, not Amazon, because BDS, but
no,
yeah.
I know, but
LaserOutlet.com.
LaserOutlet.com.
I don't know if it has to be green, but
okay.
They're talking a big game.
I'm really into people taking, like, obstructing the flock cameras for sure.
Deflock, baby.
Deflock it. And de-drone.
You know, why are they called flock? It makes me think that...
Birds.
I was thinking that we're sheep and it's to keep the sheep in line. The shepherd cameras.
That's gross, huh?
Isn't it?
That's super gross.
I know. Okay, Mason, we went to SF MoMA. We sat there and stood there and climbed around in the ceiling at Agnes Martin. We got every perspective. We set a timer for 15 minutes and just quietly looked at this Agnes Martin painting, which is...
What, do you remember the name of it? We looked at the one that was looked basically like a white canvas with a pencil or a lead grid. We looked for 15 minutes. I set my timer. We walked. We sat. We got up, looked closely. We backed up. We went across the room and looked. We tried to do all the different ways of looking. I looked with my glasses on and off. Kate looked with her glasses on and off just because it definitely changes what you see when you can't see very clearly, obviously. And I just, for me with that painting.
Wait, May yes. Soon.
What?
I almost called you Magnus. Okay, wait, May Soon. I will give you 1 billion guesses as to what the name of
it's
that.
Untitled.
Nope.
It's not?
You'll never guess.
Farm Country 3000.
You'll never guess what
okay,
it is.
Okay, fine. Then I'm not going to guess.
No, you got to guess. You get 5 guesses.
Painting 324.
Nope.
I did look at some paintings with titles. She did actually have titles for some. Like one was like Harbor View, Snow Out, White Out.
And just to be clear, it's not Snow Out or White Out or Harbor View, and I'm counting that as 2 guesses.
Okay.
I got it. Just to be completely clear to the listener, this is white, a field of white with a grid of pencil lines.
I would say, what do you think, like an inch, 1 inch square grid?
It
wasn't, a 6-foot by 6-foot canvas, which was her signature size.
They weren't squares. They were rectangles. They weren't perfect squares.
They were close. They were rectangles, but they were very close to square, I thought.
Yeah.
They weren't like a long rectangle, very, you know what I mean? They looked very square.
Yes.
Can you give me a hint? Can I phone in a friend? You're not giving me a hint? How many words?
Just that you would never guess it.
Well, then do the listeners want to hear me guess 14,000?
You got 2 more guesses.
Oh, 2 more guesses. Okay.
Now we care what the listener wants to hear.
Well, you brought it up. I would never have considered it otherwise.
Teletubbies for an hour.
Nail in wall.
That's closer than what it actually is. Like, that's closer to what...
It's closer to what?
That's a more appropriate title than what the real title is.
Oh. Cotton Candy in a Carnival.
That's the closest you've gotten.
Holy shit.
Okay, ready?
Yeah.
Drift of Summer.
Whoa.
So not in my eyes.
I found this piece. I still don't think I love that piece. I tried really hard. I mean, Kate was trying to cry and didn't cry, but yeah. It was very challenging. I don't know why we chose the hardest piece to look at.
I think I could have cried. Room. I think I could
with
have cried.
With that piece? Was I interrupting you? I should have left you by
we
yourself.
We had us dicking around being weird.
We weren't dicking around.
And then people kept coming in.
No, they didn't. There were like a couple couples.
Now, before you met me, I had a few people that were kind of like herding me around the room because they wanted to come see that one and then I'd have to move and, you know.
Drift Summer?
Drift of Summer.
Drift of Summer. Wow. So, I mean, I definitely hear the snowdrift vibe on that one, but that's not what she's talking about.
Even if I didn't have an emotional experience so much, I did have a lot going on visually because the longer you're looking at this thing, it kind of starts to vibrate. I started to see like multiple colors of white in the... I started to feel like the... thickest lines started to kind of float off the canvas because there's like 2 different line weights for the smaller grid, quote unquote grid,
mm-hmm.
and the like bigger chunks of the grid.
Yeah, like each square had 2, 3 or 4 lines in it. like vertical lines.
Yeah.
Right?
So that those were lighter.
Much, much lighter.
Drift of Summer. Okay, here's how I could feel like that title makes sense. Okay, what if we're thinking about being a kid in school and like when at the end of the school year when you start to just really not give a shit?
Mm-hmm.
And so maybe you're drawing something, grid paper, like thinking about notebook paper. And this is kind of like, it's not a perfect grid. It's like some other weird thing. I'm sure that's not what she was thinking.
It's pretty grid-like. I mean, she's clearly using a ruler and like, I know the lines are wiggly.
Straight.
I mean,
no, the lines are pretty straight. I mean, when you get close to it, we were noticing a lot of little hiccups, like bumps on the canvas.
And it's like the canvas itself is textured. So you can't you're never going to draw a perfect line.
No, that's not what I mean. I mean more that it's not square. It's not perfectly square, the grid.
Mm-hmm.
They're rectangles.
No, I know.
They're a little taller than they are wide.
Slightly, yeah.
Yeah. That's what I mean.
Mm-hmm. And then there are all sorts of little, things happening on the campus that...
You would only notice after looking for a long time.
Yeah, it seemed like little hiccups or, I don't know, mistakes. I can't tell if any of them were intentional, you know?
Well, she could have gone in and erased.
Mm-hmm.
She could have started all the way over again.
When I read about it, it sounds like so...
Yes, what did you learn? Impart your knowledge.
That the work was finished with gesso, like a thin, thin layer of gesso on top.
Over top?
Isn't that surprising?
How?
Maybe not that piece. Maybe that was like general other pieces of hers.
Oh.
Because, I mean, you really did see the pencil line.
Yeah, I don't think that
that must not have been it.
I think the pencil was the last thing on. I mean,
there were some cases where I feel like the gesso was more on top than others, but...
You mean in other paintings?
No, in that one, like little areas where you could see. Maybe it was just like a thicker layer or something.
Shit, man, now we got to go back.
We might need to go back.
This is hilarious because we stood there. I looked at this thing for more than 15 minutes, and I still feel like I need to see it in person. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, and then we talked to Katie.
Katie who?
You're Katie.
Oh, research assistant Katie Kondo.
Research assistant Katie. When we were leaving, and she had a very affectionate sort of like, I would say, place in her heart for Agnes Martin. Like,
yeah, she really loves
Agnes
Martin.
Big fan of Agnes Martin. And I think we asked her what she saw in it, and she was sort of like, what did she say, like futility? You know, just like this.
Oh, yeah. That it seems like it's perfect because it's this grid, it's... all these straight lines, it's very geometric, but then mm-hmm. when you get close, it's not perfect.
Yeah.
Because you can't.
Yeah.
By hand, you can't make a grid that size that's going to be perfect.
Right, exactly. Because I don't know what was wrong. I mean, I think, of course, seeing it, rethinking about it with that terminology, I was like, oh, yes, I hear that. That makes sense. But I think I just felt like, I don't know. I do think I could probably have spent more time with it because I think I just felt sort of frustrated by it.
Say more.
Like I didn't feel like I could open up to it in the amount of time that we were there. Like I couldn't, like, I wasn't able to like soften in front of it or something, you know? Like there were other pieces in the room that were easier for me to sort of like feel an emotional connection to more quickly.
Like the blue one?
The gray one I liked immediately.
The gray one? Mm. Oh, right. There's one that looks like however this like wash or whatever is applied to the canvas, it looks like clouds or like...
It's just like speckled or what would you call it? Where it's not just a solid color. There's like, what do you call it when you can see white
like
through
modeled?
It? Modeled, yeah. And so there's something in the modeled sort of texture nature of that color that I could feel, I don't know, there I just felt more to it. It was also like a warmer warmer tone. I don't know. I think that piece was really hard, the one we looked at, Drift of Summer.
Drift of Summer.
Yeah. And then Kate had a different one that was her favorite that was like on linen. And I'm like, why don't we just choose one that we actually responded to?
The blue one?
No, the other one, the linen one.
Oh, the one that looked like butter.
Yeah, like different shades of yellowish white, off-white kind of colors.
Yes. Hang on, I'm going to tell you what that one was called.
Drift of Butter.
Drift of Butter. No, that one was called Wheat.
Wheat or Wheat? Wheat.
Wheat.
Okay.
Obviously from 1957. And Drift of Summer, the one we were looking at, was from 1965.
Oh. Okay, interesting. Hold on one second. Let me look at my notes. Okay, so here are some of my notes about Agnes Martin, which I did.
Tell me everything.
The tiniest amount of research. And I
hurry, we actually don't have much time.
Oh, really? Shit. Okay. there's a quote that she's, here's this quote. Artwork is a representation of our devotion to life.
A representation of our devotion to life.
I think the use of devotion, like her saying that, feels like somewhat religious or spiritual.
Oh, okay.
And so when I think of that, I think of meditation. And then I think I can see how that work is a meditation for her.
Oh, for sure.
Making that, this line, like just the practice of making those, in my opinion, very tedious lines feels like meditation.
Yes.
And it's like, it makes me think she must have been in a different state in her mind making that work. You know, like when you go into meditation, you do kind of transcend or move through different experiences. So that was kind of interesting to think about.
But who knows? That. Who knows what she had going on mentally?
We really don't know. She grew up in Canada, Saskatchewan, on a farm. So then I was like, oh, she's a farm girl. Then I kept thinking, like, I was putting all these things in the paintings when I started reading, like the farm grid, right? Like,
it just makes me think of fences.
Fences. I think of like just the way the land is parceled.
Yeah.
You know, in farmland and how these, like when you look at it from an aerial view or from a plane, it's like these grids oftentimes.
I'm thinking fences.
Fences. Okay.
If you're on the farm, you're not thinking about it from above.
But when you are like plowing a field, there are lines, straight lines that you're going in.
Sure.
You know, like
rows.
There's a very like.
Sure.
Methodical also process, like way of working the land.
Uh-huh.
And then they moved. She moved to Taos, New Mexico.
Yes.
First. And that was like in, when did she move here? She moved here in the 1930s.
Okay.
And then she became a citizen in 1950 and then moved to New York. She was like, had a show and was like convinced to move to New York. And I guess like the 6x6 canvas was like her signature size that she used. So like a lot of her works, I mean, all the works in there, there were some that were smaller.
No, the butter one was smaller.
Smaller. Her practice was tethered to spirituality, a mix of Zen Buddhism and American transcendentalism.
No shock there.
No shock there, I know. It sounds like she took a hiatus from painting, like, altogether. She moved back to Taos and, like, was working on writing instead, like, in 1967. She left, so from 67 to 74, she took a total, like, break from painting. Sounded like she was having some, like, mental health or
Vietnam War.
Right. It, you know, some things to take care of for herself. And it sounds like when she returned to painting in the 70s, she wasn't really doing the grid. She was doing these like bolder geometric shapes. So I think there were some of those in that room, like the kind of gray and red, like stripes. She was doing more, wider stripe pieces.
Yeah.
What does it say?
Those ones look like red, white, and blue to me. And I always think rah-rah USA.
Rah-rah USA.
I'm sure that's not what she was thinking.
Her belief in the ability to conjure profound positive experiences in the viewer.
What no. the fuck, lady?
That one I was like, no. That's what I got.
I'm going to put a little clip of her talking.
I don't have any ideas myself. I have a vacant mind, you know, in order to do exactly what the inspiration calls for. And I don't start to paint until after I have an inspiration. And after I have it, I make up my mind that I'm not going to interfere, you know, not have any ideas. That's really the trouble with art today. It seems to me the artists have the inspiration, but before they can get on the canvas, they've had about 50 ideas. And the inspiration disappears.
Like the word devotion specifically being used, and then the like her practice to, or like connection to spirituality was interesting. And that kind of made me feel a little bit softer towards that painting.
I liked the painting.
I did not like the painting. But now, see, this is a problem where, like, the having more information about the artist makes me a little bit more open to the work itself. Is that fair? It is giving what it is.
Yeah, who cares?
It is what it is.
Fair to who?
To the work.
Is it fair to, like, look at other supporting evidence?
Supporting documents? I think some work needs it, honestly.
Work's dead. Work's just
what is happening over here?
Work's just an inanimate object.
So you like the painting?
Yeah, I did.
Did you like every painting in that room?
That one? No, I mean, I think...
I don't think you liked the gray one I liked.
I think I could learn to like any of them. The one you liked was fine. I didn't love it as much as you did, but mm-hmm. It was okay. I think I can learn to like anything, pretty much.
When you look at her work, do you... Like, how much of it do you think of her as a painter?
Oh.
Fully.
100%.
Like, is there, are you looking at her, I guess you are looking at her technique. Are you looking at her, like, the way she's laying paint on a canvas?
Yes. Mm-hmm. I have no problem thinking a pencil drawing on a canvas is a painting.
Sure.
I don't care.
I don't care either.
After all these episodes where we're like, is it a painting? Is it a meow, meow, meow? Is it abstract? Is it representational?
Well, I think we've decided everything is all of it.
I think, yeah, I've given up. I've given up on that.
There's no need to give up. It's just that's how it is.
I gave up.
That sounds like you...
Resigned?
Yeah.
I did.
Why?
Because I gave up, but it's just... I think it's just semantics. I don't know if that it's like the most interesting thing about an artwork is like, is it a painting? Is it a sculpture?
Oh, yeah, no. I agree.
You know...
That's definitely, I wasn't saying that, but yeah. Yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, I'm going to go.
Sometimes when I look at a painting, maybe it's because I'm not a painter. I'm not necessarily looking, I'm looking at like maybe shapes or colors and things like that. I'm not necessarily thinking about the actual paint on the canvas or how it was laid down or, this is making me look closer to that, you know.
Yeah.
Which is interesting for me as like a growth opportunity.
That's good. I love that. Can I just real quick, we're winding down here, but can I just really quick give a shout out to one painting I actually really did have a response towards, and that was this piece by Joan Mitchell. There was another painting we saw by Joan Mitchell from 1956. Did you want to guess the title?
No, I know the title. I was saying don't tell the title.
Oh, you remember the title?
Well, I remember that it was very descriptive.
Not at all.
No?
No.
Oh, maybe it was the text that was like telling you how to see it or what to see.
I don't know, but it was...
What was the title
then? It was light, but then green and dark green, whatever, stabs, marks.
Strokes, yeah.
Okay, ready for the title?
Mm-hmm.
This is Oil on Canvas. It's an abstract painting. It's mainly shades of green. The title is Marie Stadler Artichoke.
That's right. Someone's name.
What's up with that?
I don't know. We have to look into who the hell that person was.
That'll be fun. Everybody go look at that painting.
Why did you like that painting?
I liked the Martin paintings, but there really isn't a lot of generosity there. Mm-hmm. In terms of just visual content. You like as yeah. soon as you see it, you see it.
Yep, you're like, okay, I've seen it. I saw it.
And like you can sit there and meditate on it and more will be revealed, mm-hmm. like in a kind of whatever spiritual way maybe. Or some visual optics kind of way.
Yeah.
But this to me just had more actual like more to chew on.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
Just in terms of how the paint's applied and what you're looking at.
Yeah.
And I was ready to just like be able to actually see something. And so I didn't give a damn. I was just like, look, what am I seeing? And I was just seeing dogs, dogs, dogs.
I know. That was really interesting.
I was like, I don't care about seeing this as an abstract piece anymore. I'm just going to see what brain is showing me. And it was
okay.
showing me dogs. And I was like, damn, if anything is going to get me crying in an abstract artwork, it's seeing my dead dog. And I felt like I did see kind of a Wall-E kind of thing.
Yeah.
And maybe if I had more time and it was a different context and all this stuff, I would have really been affected by it. But I just really liked it. And shout out to Joan Mitchell. Great job. I'm going to give that piece a 10 out of 10. Awesome. I'm going to give the Agnes Martin, fuck it, I'm giving it a 10 out of 10.
Wow.
I was having a good time looking at that thing. I don't know. I liked finding all the mistakes.
Mm-hmm.
That was, I don't know, encouraging.
Yeah, but it's just sort of like, I mean, yeah, it just feels like we have to keep ourselves busy or like having a job, you know, like what's, aren't you looking and finding the mistakes? You know what I mean?
Sure.
I mean, yeah, that's sort of, I feel like for me, that's what it became because I was trying to find something or feel something or go on something. And so, but I don't, not necessarily how I want to experience work, I guess, is by.
Do you want to really quick give it a final score?
I'm going to call it Adrift.
Oh, really good one. And we're going to have to go ahead and say Free Palestine. And from the bridge.
To the other bridge.
To the island in between. This has been Congratulations Pine Tree.